Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
Amen. You may be seated. I just think we should have more music. You know, this is a remarkable day, a wonderful day of celebration. And before we come to these ancient words, these holy words, these words of life and these words of hope, for these are the kinds of words that help us cope as we face this wonderful spiritual enterprise called life. This is what we go to. But first, I'll take a moment of privilege to say what a joy it is for me to be with you again. As many of you came in and I was able to have conversation with you, how many of you remember this face going all the way back to Karna Bodman's home in Port Royal? Anyone still here from there? How about remember this face from Naples Community High School when we were at the high school together? You remember those days? Yeah. And then how about when we came into this building? Because I was here when we first came in the building, but you switched things around because the pulpit used to be there and a wall was there, and then so you've changed everything. And now I understand by the grace of God, you may be going through some more changes going forward, which is all a wonderful thing. I simply say all of that to let you know what a joy it is for me to be with you. Anytime Pastor Kurt calls upon me and asks me to come here, I'll do everything in my power with God's help to see if I can have my associate Frank preach for me at Jubilee so that I can be with you. The very robe that I wear was a robe that you gave me on the occasion of my leaving here. So every time I wear this and I'm preaching, I'm surrounded by all of your love, all of your care, all of your support. And it's a wonderful and it's a good gift. I am simply grateful to be here with you. I know that Pastor Kurt is away with Marty Starkey, and he's there this Sunday, and another Sunday in August, I'll be up there. But I have a lot of family that's in Indiana. Five of my six girls are back up in Indiana. We have Grace with us this morning, and my wife is up with all five of the girls and all five grandchildren. So they're having a great time. And as much as I love them and I love our grandkids, I'm so glad to be here. Your ministry here is a tremendous gift. And I'm inspired even before I stepped into the pulpit. So we'll see what God has in store for us. But first, we go to these words from Psalm 33. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure praise of Him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for Him with the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to Him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything He does. He loves what is ever is just and is good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the seas its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of Him, for when He spoke, the world began. It appeared at His command. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all of their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people He has chosen for His inheritance. Herein ends the reading from God's holy word. I trust that as you entered worship this morning, that your hearts were moved as my heart was moved as we saw that marvelous video from Peter Thomas. What a powerful understanding it is to come to that place and that moment in time where we fully comprehend and embrace sacrificial love. We know what it looks like. We see it. We experience it. In the most recent issue of the Gulf Breeze that you guys kind of share each month or bi-monthly, Pastor Kurt spoke of his remembrance and going through boxes of stuff. And he explained that it wasn't just for their intrinsic value as he found these wonderful things, but all of these things that he encountered, they represented stories of history, the importance of family, and the power of remembrance. And part of that we saw in the picture of his father and of his mother, who served faithfully. And he came across some stories of his dad's writing to his parents from Germany as they were driving toward Berlin, living day to day on the threshold of the dead, he said. Those images took me back to a time where Lee and I had the privilege of traveling to Normandy. Have any of you had that opportunity? Then you know of what I speak. You've been there. I read about it in the history book, so I had history. I learned about it from a number of men that served during that time and were there on that day. They didn't want to talk about it much, but once in a while when we'd get out on the golf course together, we'd go out for a meal, they would share snippets of their experience. And I remember them saying, they just would never, ever forget. When Lee and I went there, and finally, I had the wonderful history from the books. I had remembered history from people who were there, but I had the personal experience of standing there. I was in awe, because when you see that beach down below and that cliff and that wall that was so fortified with bombardment, you had no idea how anyone made it. My wife and I meandered our way. We found ourselves in the cemetery that is there, and there were those rows that Peter Thomas was talking about. Row upon row of white crosses and stars of David. Now, I'm given to tears. For those of you who've been around me long, you know that I am. I am my mother's son. She will cry at a supermarket opening. And so it doesn't take much for me to just let those go. But my wife is a woman of not so many tears. And as we stood there in that cemetery, and I held her hand, we just quietly wept. And we gave thanks for sacrificial love. That's what we're about today. Pastor Kurt reminds us in his article that history matters. It's important. Our text today reminds us that history matters. Because at the very end of that text, as it describes for us so beautifully, and the psalmist writes, we are reminded that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I'm telling you, in our day and time, we need to focus and refocus our attention on the important. I have a wonderful book. It's a small book in my library. It's called The Tyranny of the Urgent. Maybe some of you have that in your library, but all too often in our lives, we allow the tyranny of the urgent always to take place of the important. It doesn't matter what the soup du jour is, it can come up and it can sidetrack us, waylay us, and put us in a position where no longer are we holding on to that which is so incredibly important to us. The scripture reminds us today that the most important thing for us to embrace is that God, the very God of the universe, is our Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Unfortunately, we're living in times where everything seems to be more important than our faith. Everything seems to be more important than our trust in God. It doesn't take any time at all to just go to any news. Nobody reads the paper anymore, do they? Yeah, I'm sure some of you do. But we get so much, we're bombarded with information online. We're bombarded with information, if you watch the late evening news, about all of the bad things that are going on in our world and how it seems to be hopeless and helpless. And even now, we're in the midst of trying to figure out how we're going to fund the government and all of those things. Well, I wonder if we couldn't go to the House of Congress and to those hallowed halls and say, maybe if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and then will I heal their land. It's not a new idea, but it's something that focuses us on a remembrance, the importance of our past. The tyranny of the urgent always takes place of the important. You can find, let's see, if you go to any of the ice cream shops, you can probably find 39 or 40 flavors of ice cream, at least. If we can come up with 39 or 40 flavors of ice cream, we can find some ways to figure out all of the difficult problems that we're trying to face and to deal with. There's got to be a way to do this. And we only come up with choice A and choice B. But there are all kinds of ways in which we can approach that. But in approaching that, we must find the wisdom of God. And first, we must always go back to God. One nation under God. That's what we hold to. Those young men who gave their lives for a calling greater than themselves. They sacrificed that we might have love. And I think what happens with the disorientation of our world is that we get lost and we're not sure how to find our way back. We're just absolutely not certain of that. I love it that Gracie is with us this morning because I had the opportunity of teaching each and every one of the girls how to figure out how to ride a bike. Did you do that with your children? It was a great gift. And you know what we do when we're teaching them to ride the bike? We hold on to the back of the seat. And we just let them go and they go. And then they start wheeling and they're going and they're looking. And isn't it great? And then at some point, every one of the girls go, Daddy, let me go. And I would let them go. And they go a few little strides and steps and they're moving themselves with the pedaling. And all of a sudden, they turn around to look and say, look at me. And you know what happens when you turn around? You invariably pull to the right or to the left, and down they would go. And they would look at me and they go, why did you do this to me? Why did you do this? And then they had a decision of faith. Was the joy of riding that bike greater than the risk of falling or the injury that hurts? They're riding along. They have a sense of orientation. The crash occurs. There's disorientation. And that is precisely the moment of reorientation that we need. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many in your heart of hearts believe that we are living in a very disoriented world? And the hope, according to the scripture, is that we focus our attention back on God. Our Lord, that is our hope. For you see, you can't find your way home unless you have a single point of orientation. Anybody else love the movie Apollo 13? I absolutely loved it, enjoyed it. I watch it over and over and over again. And there's a very powerful scene where Jim Lovell and the group are trying to figure out how are they going to make their way back home. You remember they were supposed to land on the moon. They had an explosion that did not happen. They used the lunar landing module to kind of house them until they made their loop around the moon, came their way back. And as they found their way back, they had to sort through how to get back into the Earth's atmosphere. Now, they were very limited because they couldn't use all the computers because they were preserving all the energy necessary for it to fire and to re-enter. I'll never forget watching Walter Cronkite. They had a basketball, which represented the Earth. And they had a thin piece of paper, just like this. And that represented the angle at which they were going to come in. And there was a paper-thin window for them to get in. Too shallow, they're going to bounce off the Earth's atmosphere. Too steep, they're going to burn up coming in. You remember what they had to do? Lovell figured it out. He said, if we could have a fixed point, we can do all the mathematics. We can figure out, we'll look through this window, we'll use the earth as the fixed point, and we will let the earth be that point of orientation so we can find our way home. Now, it was really great because as they told the story in the movie, Lovell's family had gathered around. Even his mother was there. And one of the little children came in. I believe her name was Madge or Midge. Came in, and one of the children started to cry, and she said, "Are you worried?" And the little girl shook her head, "Yes." Yeah. And she said, "You don't need to worry, because if they could get a washing machine to fly, my Jimmy could land it." That's faith. My Jimmy could land it. There they are, in the darkness of outer space, looking at this shining, beautiful place called Earth. And they fired the engines, and it took them in all kinds of ways, and they were totally disoriented, but they had a fixed point. And that fixed point, looking at the Earth, firing for just the right amount of time, put them at just the right attitude. We know the story. There were many, many seconds that went by where we were waiting to hear from them that they had landed. But they landed safely. They found their way home because they had a point of orientation. That is what we're called to do. History matters. It's centrally important when we consider our own spiritual orientation that we find out who we are, because we also need to understand that the history that we have is incredibly important. We need to look at this holy book. We need to find out who we are as the people of God. We need to reacclimate ourselves to what God intended for us from the very start so that we can find our way home. The problem is that as I encounter so many people in our day in society, they have no idea what history is all about. We all need to sit and watch that video again. I wish everyone would take the time to consider the sacrificial love that is present in that. I was watching a recent interview that Bill Maher did with Elon Musk. And Musk was talking about his experience since he took over Twitter. And as he was dealing with all of that, he says he's astounded by the fact that so many people have no rootedness in their history. They truly don't know the facts of history. And what he was talking about is he asked young people about George Washington. What do you think the young people remember about George Washington? Anybody have something you remember? The cherry tree? How many of you remember the cherry tree? Good. Anybody else remember about George Washington? Crossing the Delaware, president, our first president, all of those things. You know the only thing that a lot of our young people know about George Washington? He was a slave owner. That's where they stop. He was a slave owner. That's their limited knowledge, that's their truncated history, and they begin to start to make judgments and understanding based on that single point of orientation, which has absolutely never going to be able to contain all that George Washington is and was for us. I don't know about you, but I still am thankful for our founding fathers. I'm thankful for those people throughout all our time in faith who've given us the opportunity to be here, to be who we are, to share the joy of what it is to live in America. And we can never, ever, 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 ever forget the sacrifice of so many on that D-Day. In the face of evil in our world. Beyond an understanding of our history and a single point of orientation to understand who God is, I love the Old Testament because it's filled with so many beautiful things. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The word Lord there is that wonderful Jehovistic Yahweh. And we know that the scripture declares for us that we have a God who is Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. God can heal. Jehovah Jireh, the one who will provide all things to us. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, who is our banner, the one who will go before us. When soldiers marched, they always had a banner. The banner showed everyone who was coming who they were going to encounter. God goes before us, always. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord who is our righteousness. Now notice this, is this important in our day and time? I can encounter Christians all over the place who are very self-righteous. I would love to encounter more Christians who hold the banner that the Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah, Saba, that is the God who would bring an army of angels. And Jehovah Shalom, God who is our peace. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. This is our Lord. Our single point of orientation is our trust in Him. Now shift with me just a moment as we find our own understandings of spiritual orientation. Every time you share the Lord's Supper, every time we come to a place of communion, we speak these words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And it's important to understand the new covenant, but the more important piece of that puzzle is that we do it in remembrance. We refocus our remembrance each and every time. The essence of Memorial Day is sacrificial love. The essence of our experience of communion is God's sacrificial love expressed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Every time we share communion, we're reminded of the importance of this refocused remembrance. It's a supreme example of that kind of love. And so as we remember those who gave their lives that we might know the joy of this freedom, we also must focus our remembrance on God, who gave His all that we might share love. I get a great joy and privilege of marrying a number of people from all over the world, really, in a ministry that I've had here for a long time. And part of the work that I do with many of the couples is I ask them to give me three words that they would use to describe each other, but not collaborate on them. I have them send to me separate, because I usually work about a year or so with all of my couples. And they'll send me these three words that they would use to describe. But I also ask each and every one of those couples to send me a short paragraph on what they've learned about love as a result of being in relationship with each other. And they send me some of the most marvelous things. And I'm very encouraged by a number of our young people, because a common theme that they keep bringing up over and over and over again is that as they describe what they've learned about love, is they've learned that love is not just talking about love. Love is not just about the feeling of being in love. Talking about love is important, feeling like you're loved is important. But a number of them most recently say that their most meaningful relationships have come, and what they're grateful that they learned from their partner is about the act of loving. Not about talking, not about feeling, the act of loving. We saw in those wonderful images on the screen the act of loving. We experience in our God not just words about love, not just feelings about love, but the act of loving, that God loves us. And I believe that's a really, really good thing. But beyond that, I think it's transformative. Memorial Day is the essence of sacrificial love. The essence of God's presence in our midst is sacrificial love. Most important, our calling. Watching those men who served so faithfully, those who gave their lives, reading and experiencing the love of God. the act of love, to love others as we have been loved, to sacrifice for others as others have sacrificed for us, is the essence of focused remembrance. We will be blessed as a nation when we truly understand, not only embrace it, but live it and act it out. In the end, just like all of those young men who went over and stormed that beach, Omaha Beach, there at Normandy, they went because they believed in something better than themselves. Who more than life? They loved their country. They served their God. They focused their faith. And when you read the letters from those who lost their lives, because many of them had written letters home just in the event that they might pass, they all talked about what a privilege it was to go into fight in a war that would end all wars. That's where they started. That's what they wanted to do. We're just trying to get home. Like Jim Lovell and the guys on Apollo 13, we're just trying to get home. I close this morning with a simple story. I had a great opportunity in a church, one of the churches that I served in Indiana. Every summer, we would take kids to summer camp. Anybody have the opportunity to go to one of those Christian summer camps, sing all the songs, have a great time, all of that? Well, one of the great privileges and joys of doing that, and I did that for, 14, 15 years as best I remember, we would go to a place called Camp Baldy, up under Mount Baldy, and it was a way through the state forest, and there was semi-well-marked trails. But we would find our way out there in the wilderness, and unfortunately, on this day, we got started a little bit late. And as we got there and we had a bunch of fun, it was really hard to corral all the kids to get them going home, but I was noticing that the sun was setting. And in the state forest, in the dark, and I must tell you that even though as a Boy Scout, I did not bring a flashlight with me, we're trying to figure out how we're going to make our way home. So I gather the kids, I say, we need to stay close together. And as we're moving our way through a trail that we thought, we noticed that on one of the trees, there was a bright orange dot. That was good news. So I sent two of the guys out in front, and I said, I just need you to take off and you're going to find the next tree with a little orange dot. You know what? They found the next one. And everybody got excited, and then we found a next one. And then we found a next one, and then we found a next one. And before you knew it, what we were doing was focusing our attention on those single orange dots because we needed that single point of orientation to get us home. I'm so grateful because I did not want to be the first person in Camp Ioka's history not to get the kids home. We made it home. We made it home. We live in a world that is incredibly disoriented. It is looking for an understanding of how we're going to get there. But to get there, we need to know where we've been. And we know who's going to lead us home. And he's going to take us by the hand. And he will guide us home. I pray that God will bless America today and every day with refocused remembrance, never letting the tyranny of the urgent take place of the important, and just trust God to do what our God has promised. He's going to take us home. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O loving God, we thank you. We thank you for the promise of your presence. We thank you for the gift of your love. We thank you for the sacrifice of so many. Remind us that as you have transformed our lives through sacrificial love, that our call is to put love into action and live sacrificially as well. You never know who you will call us to help lead home. Bless, we ask, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.